bless you. All the kiddos, 3 through 5 year olds, you're going to be going to the blue room. 3, 4, and 5 year olds, you're going to be going to the blue room. 1st through 6th grade, you're going to follow Mr. John to the chapel. I appreciate those who are working with the children. Miss Nancy Brinkley, Miss Betty Page, working with 3, 4, and 5 year olds. I believe you're going to have a good time. 1st through 6th grade, Mr. John in the chapel. I encourage, if you have children that age, please send them, okay? This is something that's really not an option. Amen. So I appreciate you sending them. How many of you are nervous now? Would you raise your hand? You're nervous? Yes, all these kind of things. No, it's just one of those things that this is one of those topics that I didn't want to send you home and the kids say, "Hey, Mommy, what was the preacher? What do you mean when he said that word?" You know? We get enough questions, if you understand. If you have children still in the home, you understand what I mean. We get enough questions. So I didn't want you to go home and have to answer questions tonight. And I trust that you will get help tonight, all of us, all of us. Just going to get started with this message. God willing, next Sunday night, I'll be giving part 2 to this message. So next Sunday night, we'll probably do the same thing with the children. And I appreciate you being here. Exodus chapter 20, and we will read verse number 14. Exodus chapter 20, verse 14. We're just preaching through this book, and we've come to this verse on the Ten Commandments, and what a command it is, and how God has been flooding my heart and soul with just lessons to learn on this vital, vital subject. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 14. This is commandment number 7, if you're keeping notes through this series. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Say that with me. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Help us tonight. I pray, may the will of God be done. Challenge our hearts. Speak to us thoroughly. May the will of God be done here in Jesus' name. Amen. This 7th commandment pointedly says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now the Hebrew word that's used here in the Old Testament for the literal word adultery, when you study it, it's applying both to men and to women. This word adultery means to break one's wedlock. That's what it means. My friends, listen to me, please. Marriage is very sacred. And marriage is very special to the Lord God of heaven who created it. And there is no condition, I repeat, no condition in which the marriage covenant should be violated. However, one way that the marriage covenant is violated, this is not the only way, but one way that people break the marriage covenant is by breaking this commandment. Now, in breaking this command, what a mate is telling their spouse is this: you are not good enough for me. You are not good enough for me. Now, before you think, I'm immune to this, I don't deal with this, everybody needs to realize that sexual temptation is very powerful. And you need to understand that all have sexual passions that are explosive. And if those sexual passions are not guarded and they're left unguarded, they can cause grave results. As we study this command, I want you to ask the Lord to speak directly to your heart and help you understand the importance of what He is saying. It is the will of God for husbands and wives to be true and faithful, first of all to God, and then to one another. May I say this to you? The reason husbands and wives break their covenant to their spouse is because they first broken their covenant with God. You stay close to God, and He will help you stay close to one another. Now, this being the case, I'm telling you that in the Old Testament, the breaking of this commandment, you say, how does God look at this breaking of this commandment? How does God look at the sin of adultery? Well, in the Old Testament, let me let the Word of God speak. In Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10, listen to this. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Wow. You mean God would have people killed for breaking their marriage covenant? Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm telling you tonight that this command is not an option. It's not something you can take or leave. And somebody may be listening to me right now that you're committing adultery, if not in your body, in your mind. I'm getting ahead of myself. And you think to yourself, well, I'm just not being fulfilled. Hogwash. Garbage. Trash. I'm telling you that your sexual passions will lie to you. And may I say this to you, that there are people scattered all over the world today. They're in jails and everywhere else. I'm talking about God's children. And they cannot have their sexual desires fulfilled, and they're still doing fine. And I want to tell you something tonight. What you're going to get tonight is doom and gloom. Because I'm exposing this sin tonight. I'm exposing it. God willing, next Sunday night, I'm going to give you the way to live in victory over it. I'm not going to get to that tonight. I'm sorry about that, but at least hopefully that'll bring you back next week. Let me give you several things about this sin of adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. First of all, let me give you the report on it. I'm giving you not a book report, I'm giving you a Bible report. What does the Bible have to say about this sin? A closer look reveals some things about the sin of adultery that should cause everybody here to determine not to give in to this particular sin. For instance, first of all, under this, the report of adultery, on adultery. Number one, under this, what is adultery? What is it? Well, let me give you a list. Number one, it's a sin against God. We see this, that God is the standard. You know, Hollywood's not the standard, friends. Your own life and your philosophy's not the standard. Movies are not the standard. God is the standard. And what we mean by this is He is the one who's commanded us not to commit adultery. So anybody who does commit adultery, what they're doing is they are shaking their fist in God's face. You need to see, first of all, we're looking at the report on adultery. What is it? What is this? It's a sin against God. It is a sin against your Creator. Genesis chapter 39, verses 7 to 9 says this, "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife," talking about Joseph, "cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me, commit adultery with me. But he refused, and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife." Get this, here's what Joseph said, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" That's what Joseph said. Genesis 20, verses 2 to 6. "And Abraham said unto Sarah his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech king of Gerar," in other words, he lied to this king, "and Abimelech king of Gerar sent and took Sarah, not knowing that she was Abraham's wife. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man. For the woman which thou hast taken, she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she's my sister? And she, even she herself, said, he's my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thine heart. For I also withheld thee," get this, "from sinning against me." That's what God said. "Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her." God said to Abimelech right here. Abimelech said, hey, I'm innocent. I didn't know she was married. I didn't touch her, God. And God said, I didn't let you touch her, because if you had, you would have sinned against me. You know, really, this is enough right here. You know, I could close my Bible and say that's enough not to commit adultery, friends. Amen tonight. It's because it's a sin against God. 2 Samuel 12, 9, "Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite," talking to David, "with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon." In other words, this verse says, why have you broken the commandment of God, David? What is adultery? The Bible report. We're looking at a report on adultery. What is it? Well, first of all, it's a sin against God. Secondly, it's a sin against yourself. We see this in 1 Corinthians 6:18. Listen to this verse. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication, get this, sinneth against his own body. That's what the Word of God says. The Word of God says if you committed fornication, adultery, all these kind of things, they're used interchangeably. If you do that, God said you're sinning against me, but then you're also sinning against your own body. Thirdly, it's not only a sin against God and against yourself, it's a sin against the body of Christ. We see this taught in 1 Corinthians 6:15. Says, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? Boy, that's strong language. In other words, in context, he's talking about committing fornication, having sexual sin, all these kind of things. And he's saying this, you are saved. You're born again. And because of that, you help make up the body of Christ. Shall you take a member of Christ's body and join it to a harlot? You sin against the body of Christ. Fourthly, it's a sin against the Holy Spirit. We see this in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Says what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit which are Christ. And in context, it's the same context as the sin against the body of Christ. The sin he's talking about is sexual sin. Did you know that when you come to that verse? He's talking about sexual sin. And he's saying, what? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. And number five, we see that it's a work of the flesh. We see this in Galatians 5:19. Says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. First of all, we're looking at a report on adultery, a Bible report for adultery. First of all, under that, we're saying, what is it? Well, it's a sin against God. It's a sin against yourself. It's a sin against the body of Christ. It's a sin against the Holy Spirit. And it's just the work of the flesh. Secondly, under the report, how does one commit adultery? How do you commit it? I want to give you two ways. First of all, in your body. There is the literal act of adultery with your body, where you unite yourself with another person who is not your mate. Now, friends, some physically commit adultery on their spouse. And in a crowd this size, no question, no doubt, I'm sure it's probably happened. And I'll talk to folks like that because it doesn't mean it has to be the end of everything. But it doesn't sugar-coated either, friends. And what I'm saying to you is this. A report that I found brought out, and I quote, we live in a world where nearly 50% of all men say that they have committed the act of adultery. That's just the number who admit to it. Researchers estimate that nearly two-thirds of all married men will commit adultery before the age of 40. 41% of married women say that they are guilty of this sin. Now, they didn't survey me, and I'm sure they didn't survey you, but who they did survey, these are staggering results. Billy Graham, in a survey he gave, found that 40% of teenagers, in Bible-believing evangelical churches are sexually active. Bible-believing churches, that's a church like this church. 40%. He also found that 60% of single adults in these same churches, we're talking about churches like our church, 60% of single adults in these churches were not only sexually active, but over half reported that they have multiple partners in churches like our church. I pray that's not true here. we see that one can commit adultery, the literal act of adultery, in their body. And while some are guilty of that here, there's help, there's forgiveness in that. Thank God for that. A majority of people here have not committed that sin, but a majority here has done it the second way, and that's in your mind. So you can commit this sin in your body, but you can also commit this sin in your mind. You say, what do you mean? Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and 28, listen to what Jesus said. He said, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. He's referring to this verse right here, the Ten Commandments. Here's what he said. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her in his heart, right here, whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. That's what Jesus said. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Boy, this came out in my study. You know what Greek word the word fornication is taken from? See if it sounds familiar. It's the Greek word porneia. Sound familiar? That is the word from which we get our word pornography. It refers to any kind of intimate sexual encounter apart from one's marital partner. And it's been reported from the Unchained magazine that 47% of surveyed families said that pornography is a problem in their home. 50% of Christian men, 50% say they're addicted to pornography. 20% of Christian women say they struggle with it. According to Pastor Jeff Amsbaugh, he's author of a book entitled Pay-Per-View. Powerful book. And the title is exactly what the book's about. If you're going to view it, you're going to pay for it. It's pay-per-view is what it is. He reported that between 40 and 60% of Christian men are involved in pornography in some way. Pornography's revenue is larger than all football, baseball, basketball, professional sport revenues combined. Did you hear that stat? You take all professional baseball revenues, all professional basketball revenues, all professional football revenues, put them all in one pot, and take all the revenues from pornography, and pornography outweighs the pot for all the professional sports. Did you realize that adult bookstores outnumber McDonald's in this country? There's a McDonald's in every corner. There's more adult bookstores in this country than there are McDonald's. Don't tell me this is not a problem. Friends, there is no spouse, husband or wife, there's no spouse who can compete with a mate who looks elsewhere for sensual satisfaction. There's no mate living that can compete with that. I wonder, dear friend, somebody says, well, she's just not fulfilling me. He's just not fulfilling me. May I remind you that God did not make you to be physically fulfilled. God made you to be spiritually fulfilled. And I'm telling you tonight that if you fall into this trap, well, listen, I've got to be satisfied. By the way, somebody that looks elsewhere other than their mate, they're telling on themselves. They can come to church, put a smile on their face. They can pray and sing praises to God and everything else, and in their heart, they know that they're committing adultery. And they may be fooling everybody, but there's one they'll never fool, and his name is God. And I'm telling you tonight, friends, I'm telling you that this is a sin that all of us need to be on guard about. And when those feelings, those things start trying to overwhelm you, look there, explore there. Ask yourself this question: is your personal feeling or your precious family more important to you? You just want to feel good? Or do you want to make sure your family is where it needs to be? By the way, I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to all of us. I'm a human being, friends. I have desires just like you have. I have to protect myself just like you need to protect yourself. I'm not immune to this. And I'm telling you that when the devil tries to wave something in front of you, by the way, your heart can be as right with God as it ever has been, and before you know it, bang, there's something that you're tempted to look at. Anybody know what I'm talking about here tonight, friends? What are you going to do at that moment? You going to feast? Or you going to turn your face and say, God, please, keep me pure, keep me holy, keep me right. It's been said, and I quote, I'm convinced that if Christian men would not put another cent into the porn industry, we could cripple it. Boy, that's a powerful statement. If just Christian men would stop putting money into it. It's amazing to realize how many people, even Christians, who are looking at others in a lustful way and committing adultery in their hearts. You've heard the song probably, especially as a kid, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you watch. A TV script writer said his goal, are you listening? Someone who writes the script for television, here's what he said. He said, my goal is to get people to laugh at adultery, laugh at homosexuality, laugh at incest, because if you can get people to laugh at these things, it breaks down their resistance to them. Some of the most popular sitcoms on television are about homosexuality. And some of you, I don't know who you are, so if you think I know, I don't. I promise you I don't. I guarantee in a crowd this size, some of you all watch those stinking sitcoms and sit there and laugh and make fun. But if your child come to you just like that, your heart would be broken. You say, this is hard. I know it's hard. Try to preach it. Amen. I'm tired of the devil getting our young people, getting our families, and what God says is sin, everybody just looks at it and says, it's not as bad as it really seems to be. That's what the industry of television and Hollywood and everything else is trying to make you think. It's not as bad as God says it is. It's as bad as God says it is, friends. And if God's against it, we need to be against it. You know, don't let adultery happen to you. Not just in body, but in mind. Adultery is against God, and it's to be shunned. It's time that we do, as one person said, inward purity is the secret of outward purity. Are you committing adultery in your mind? Are you looking at things that you should never look at? By the way, before we move on, let me encourage you, especially ladies, let me encourage you to dress modestly and not provocatively. The fact is, people dress on purpose. I've learned that. They dress on purpose. And many people, excuse me, they're advertising. And may I say, as this dear man of God, I think, has said from this pulpit, if you're not for sale, don't advertise. By the way, Proverbs 7, verse 10, put it this way. Listen, behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot. You know what the word attire means? The clothing of one. And may I say this to you? As one man said, where the sign is hung out, people will go in and taste the liquor. Don't hang a sign on yourself. And even though it's a sin to have roaming eyes, you should never look. You should never look. That's a sin. I submit to you that it's also a sin to cause roaming eyes. Be careful how you dress. Put some clothes on. And let me encourage you. The way you dress here, God bless you. And whatever you wear outside this church, make sure it's modest. I'm not going to be a preacher that's going to get up and say, you need to wear that and that and that and that and that. That's none of my business. But I will say this, whatever you put on, it should not draw sexual passions towards you. It ought to be modest. Make sure it's modest. That's the report. Secondly, let me give you the results. Now, this is as far as we're going to get tonight, just the results. If you give in to this sin, there's serious consequences. And while this sin promises satisfaction, it truly delivers the opposite. John Butler said, adultery assaults marriage and the home. However, this is not all it does. I want to give you three or four or five things here. It all starts with D, okay, just to help you remember it. First of all, the results of adultery, number one, it deceives. It deceives. What this means is this. This sin is very deceiving. It tricks you. In other words, adultery, whether it be in body or mind. In other words, look at this and you'll be fulfilled. Do this and you'll find what you're searching for. I'm telling you, it promises things that it cannot and will not produce. There are those who think they can get by with it, they think they can be satisfied with it, and they think they can find fulfillment through it. And when they do it, they realize it lied to me. It deceives. Proverbs 27, verse 20, listen to this. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Did you hear that verse? You think by looking at that it's going to satisfy you. Really, look at it and see if it satisfies. It never has, never will. It deceives. That's one of the results. It makes you think it's going to do something that it never can do. Proverbs 7, verses 5 to 27, I'm not going to read all of this. Matter of fact, I tell you what, let me slow down. I was trying my best to get through this point. Let me just slow down, okay? If it takes me three or four or five messages to get through this, it's fine. I want you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 7. We're going to read a lot of scripture here. And if this is as far as we get, then that's fine. Proverbs chapter 7. I may continue with this on Wednesday night since we have our children's program. I don't know yet. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 5. Trying to show you that the first result of adultery is deception. It deceives. Look at chapter 7. We're going to read a lot of scripture now. Hope you don't mind, but if you do, we're going to read it anyway, okay? Verse 5 and following. That they may keep thee from the strange woman. Now that word strange doesn't mean she looks strange, okay? That word strange means she does not belong to you. That's what it means. She is not your wife. Okay? That's what it means. To keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger with flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. Can I paraphrase? A young man who doesn't have too much upstairs. Okay? That's what it means. Verse 8. Passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. Is that true? Come to me, and you will find peace. I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the goodman is not at home. He is gone a long journey. He had taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, notice this, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. What is he teaching? This lady dressed as an harlot goes out and says, I've been searching for you. I've been looking for you, sweetheart. I love you. Just come. I've got everything prepared. He's taken enough money to keep him away for a long time. I have peace offerings with me. come to me and you will find what you've been searching for. And because he was void of understanding, how are you going to describe that? What's it mean to be void of understanding? Excuse me, it means to be stupid. And because he was void of understanding, he listened to her. And he went with her. And God said he was just like an ox being led to the slaughter. And he said, when she calls out to you, turn away from her, because her steps lead to hell. Boy, that is strong, friends. These verses show how adultery promises satisfaction, but it delivers death. Let me give you another verse here. We're just under the first result of adultery. It deceives. It tries to make you think that you can get satisfied by giving in, whether in body or in mind, whether you commit the act or whether you're just fantasizing. Do it and you'll be satisfied. That's a deception. It deceives. Ecclesiastes 7, 27 to 28, Solomon. And while you read these verses and while I read these verses, let me remind you that he had 1,000 women. 1,000. 300 wives, 700 concubines. Might be vice versa there. Reminder, the kids said, you know, where it says kids just say things, said Solomon had 300 wives and 700 porcupines. But anyway, or 700 wives, whatever it is. You get the picture here. He had 1,000 women. 1,000. We're teenagers and adults, and I'm being very discreet here. But that means that he could have been sexually active with a different person for over 2 years. 3 years. Every night, somebody different. Listen to what he said. And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Behold, this have I found. Listen to his words now. This have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account. Listen to this. Which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among 1,000 have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. I found a man in 1,000. But those 1,000 women that I have, I've not found one that satisfies. Let me ask you a question. You going to listen to your own flesh? You going to listen to God, friends? God says sexual sin never satisfies. Never. The first result of adultery, it deceives. And what Solomon is trying to say is that I tried to find what my life needed in women. In 1,000 to be exact. And I didn't find it there. Friends, adultery. Open, that means in the body. Or secret, that means in the mind. Deceives one into thinking that they can be satisfied by participating. Now, I didn't get anywhere close to where I thought I was going to get tonight. You're going to have to hear this 2 more sermons at least. Whew. The next one's not going to be, here's the answer. The next one's going to be more of this, doom and gloom. But can I say something to you? When a pastor loves his people, he's going to blow the trumpet loud and clear. And I want you to know something. I love you. I love your marriage. God has great things in store for you and your mate. But if you think you know more than God and you're going to participate in this anyway, go ahead. And I want you to know, when you hit rock bottom, I'm here for you. Because you will hit rock bottom. It's just a matter of time. I want to end this a couple of ways. First of all, there's no question that somebody sitting here could already be guilty of adultery. I'm talking about the act in body. Many are guilty in mind. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands there, friends. That's between you and God. But there may be somebody here that's been guilty of this in body. And you say, Jody, does it mean if I'm guilty of this that life is over for me? Absolutely not. Can I remind you that one of my favorite portions in all the Word of God is John chapter 8, where the Pharisees brought a woman, the Bible says, taken in the very act of adultery. She was guilty. And they threw her down in the midst. And they said, Moses said we should stone her, but what do you say, Jesus? She's guilty of adultery. The world is trying to kill her. Jesus stoops down and writes something in the sand. Gets up and says, you who are without sin, you cast the first stone. One by one they drop the stones. It's just her and Jesus. And Jesus said, where are thine accusers? She said, there be none. And he said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. It's not the end if you've messed up. Don't let the devil tell you that. But go and sin no more. Amen, friends? Sin no more. Don't let it happen again. And get up, because God, if you've never asked Him to forgive you, you need to do that. But if you've asked Him to forgive you, get up and go on for the glory of God, because Jesus has forgiven you. He's wiped it out. He's given you a clean slate. And even though you can't forget it, by the way, that's another result. I'm getting ahead of myself. Even though you can't forget it, He already has, and He wants to use you in a great way. But secondly, I want to talk just a minute about my wife. What a woman of God. And I'm going to tell you something that I've learned. I've learned that when I walk with God, and I really want what God wants in my life, that there is no other woman on planet Earth that can take my eyes or take my heart away from her. By the way, it's a blessing when a husband and a wife love God more than they love each other. Because when God is in the center, God gives you the love for each other that your heart's searching for anyway. You show me somebody who's succumbing to adultery, whether it be in mind, looking at things in mind, or in body, and I show you somebody that didn't happen overnight. I show you somebody whose private walk with God has taken a back seat somewhere along the way. One reason you need to stay close to God is because you cannot trust your flesh. And if there's anybody in here who says, I will never commit adultery, I will never do something like that, I would never succumb to that, you don't know yourself very well, do you? Put no confidence in the flesh. And I'm telling you, my heart doesn't want to do it. I don't want to be an adulterer. But the only way I will not give in to it is if God is in full control of my life. Amen, friends? Are you married tonight? If y'all are married, would you raise your hand? Look at me, please. Love each other. But before you love each other, fall in love with God. And watch God give you the love for your mate. You ever heard somebody say this? I just don't love you anymore. I had somebody tell me, this is a long time ago, I had somebody tell me, I just don't love her anymore. that person's problem is not her. That person's problem is he don't love God. If somebody's sitting here tonight and say, you know, I've fallen out of love with my mate, and I disagree with what you said. I love God. No, you don't. No, you don't. You're judging me. Then I'm judging you. No, you don't. No, you don't. Because God commanded you to love your mate. God said that. And what Jesus say? If ye love me, keep my commandments. That's what he said. Love each other. You know what I think a great, great, great response to this message would be tonight? Not asking you to respond to adultery. I don't want anybody coming tonight because they're guilty of adultery. Don't do that, because you wouldn't come anyway, right? I am. Hey, this is me. You know what I'm saying? No, that's not the invitation. You know what the invitation is tonight? Is your mate here with you? Even if they're not, why don't you as an individual come to this altar and say, God, help me to love you so much that my eyes do not roam. Help me to love my wife or love my husband so much that they know it. The home is under attack, friends. And one thing that is tearing it up by the seams is this sin right here. It'd be great for many teenagers to come to this altar tonight and say, God, keep me pure. Help me to wait for my mate. You say, I've already messed up. God, help me stay pure from this point on. You see the difference? What a great, great opportunity this church has tonight for husbands to grab their wife's hands, come to the altar and say, you know, this really is God's will for us. And I want to take you to the altar and pray. Some of your wives would die of a heart attack if you reached over and grabbed her hand and say, let's go pray. I want my wife to come. Not yet, sweetheart, but dear, the invitation, I want you to come. I want us to pray. I know she's being faithful to God and being faithful to me. She knows I'm being faithful to God and faithful to her. Can your mate say the same about you? Your marriage is precious. And there are some sitting here, you wish to God you could grab your wife. Yes. You wish to God you could grab your husband. But they're on the other side. The best is yet to come. Why don't you pray for these who have an opportunity to share their love with one another? Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you tonight. I pray you'll take this thought and use it. Bless this thought in a great way. Challenge our hearts. God, I just felt you prompted me just to take my time, so I'm going to take my time. What a great, great subject. It's a hard subject, Lord, to preach about. But what a needed subject. What a needed subject. God bless. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. Husbands, what about it? As they play through, grab your wife. Come pray. Come talk to God. What about it, young people, teenagers? Why don't you come and ask God to help you be pure? Teenagers, learn to respond. Get on your face. Beg God to help you. Ask God to keep adultery out of your life. Ask God to keep adultery out of your mind. Ask God to help you. Folks are responding, even up in the balcony. Maybe you don't want to come here. Just pray right there at your seat. Thank you for your goodness. Mercy. Let's sing one verse, Brother Gary. God is still speaking. You come. You talk to God. Ask God to help you. As Brother Gary sings, there's still time for you. You come now. Would you do it?
More love to thee, O Christ. More love to thee. Hear thou the prayer I make on bended knee. This is my earnest plea. More love, O Christ, to thee.
We'll continue with this. I'll probably wait till next Sunday night, because I want you to get it. I want you to get it, which means probably for the next two Sunday nights we'll be doing this. I don't know. It depends on how far we get next week. There's four more, I think it is, results of this sin. We've only got to one of them. It deceives. But there's four more of them, three or four. And I'm just going to take my time, friends. Just going to take my time. This is one of those, well, really any subject you don't need to fly through, but especially this one. Just take my time. Ask God to help us, okay? We're going to pray together. I need everybody that works with children. I know you're having a cancer ministry meeting. My meeting should not take very long. So if you're in the cancer ministry and you are not staying for the children's ministry, I'm going to go ahead and dismiss you all now. Let you all go ahead and get a head start. If you're in the children's ministry, you need to stay behind just momentarily, and then you can go join them over there right after that, okay? Let's pray together, and if you're staying in here, you can stay seated right there. Everybody else can be dismissed. Father, we love you. Bless now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed unless you're staying for this meeting.